Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Well, you know that a pressure cooker is sealed to cook food by using steam pressure. So what happens is the steam raises the boiling point of water and it allows food to cook faster and hotter and more efficiently than just your normal boiling. The lid locks on tight, trapping that steam inside, and as that liquid heats up, it turns into steam, but it has no place to go, nowhere to escape. And so that trapped steam increases the internal pressure, and this pressure raises the boiling point of water from about 212 degrees Fahrenheit to about 250 degrees Fahrenheit. And because the temperature is higher, the food cooks much more quickly, and so tough foods soften and flavors intensify and nutrients often are better preserved. A valve releases that excess pressure to prevent danger. And when cooking is finished, that pressure has to be released in a way that is safe. Because if you don't, you're going to have problems. If you open that lid too soon, you're going to have some serious problems. Pressure transforms time. What normally takes hours can take minutes. And the heat exposes what's inside. And those tough ingredients break down. And that's why control is essential, because that unmanaged pressure becomes very dangerous. A pressure cooker doesn't create what's inside the food, but it reveals what's inside the food. And in some ways, it reshapes what's inside. Pressure doesn't add flavor, it draws flavor out. And when the pressure is contained and guided, it produces something tender and nourishing. And when the pressure is ignored or uncontrolled, you have a bomb sitting in the middle of your house. So our series is called Pressure Cooker, as you saw just a moment ago. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is where we are today, and we're talking about this pressure cooker of life. You know, in our series, we're going to look at family. We're going to look at family life. So why would we call a series on the family pressure cooker? Well, I think we all know that. Family life is a lot like a pressure cooker. We can feel locked in. We can feel trapped inside. We can feel like things are tight. Steam begins to build with no place to escape. And that causes internal pressure. Often that changes us or maybe changes our family dynamics. And over the course of this series, I want us just to, you know, open the valve just a little bit and hopefully allow God's word to speak to us and maybe to release some steam and let the pressures of life change us for the better. There are a lot of topics we're going to cover over these next few weeks that put families into pressure cookers. We're going to cover things like strained relationships. We'll talk about when money is tight. We're going to talk about how screens shape our minds. We're talking about the different phases that parents go through as their kids go through different phases. And hopefully in all of it, we'll talk about how healing can happen. But before we cover those topics, I think today we want to think more foundationally. Because what's at the foundation makes a real difference. To use our pressure cooker analogy, a pressure cooker only produces something good when the cooker itself is solidly built. If the pressure cooker itself is flawed in some way, then damage can ensue. And so it is with how we build our lives. If we build our lives on flaws, we can certainly expect there to be damage in our hearts as well as in our homes. As we close our, Jesus was closing out his series of sayings and thoughts and ideas in what is considered to be the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks some words that I think really speak to us where we are today, words that help each of us personally but also they help us with our family life. Jesus is going to tell a short story, but it is a short story that is filled with profound truth. It's not complicated to understand, but it is essential for our lives. So in Matthew chapter 7, I want to read beginning in verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So right here at the start of this series on the family, I think that we really need to think about pressures, and we need to think about storms. And yes, I'm going to mix both of those metaphors frequently today, but I do so for a good reason. Pressures that make a family feel like they're in a pressure cooker often come in the form of storms. And I am so grateful to God for bringing storms to our community on this Sunday to help emphasize my message that I am preaching today. I'm glad I'm not preaching on tornadoes. So I want to begin by saying that pressure is inevitable. Pressure is inevitable. If you have a family, you know that pressure is part of it. So why is that the case? Well, just like with a pressure cooker, with a family, there are many ingredients in one pot. Everything in a family all goes together. When you cook food, everything goes together in a pressure cooker. You got different textures and flavors and cook times, all those kinds of things. Well, with a family, everything goes in together. You've got two adults that come from different families and different backgrounds and different ways that they were brought up, different types of expectations, different types of emotional wiring, and those two people get married. They get married and they begin to have children. And those children all come from the same house, yet so often they're very, very different. And your kids, you find, are in different stages of life and personalities and dreams. And you add on top of that work stress and school pressure and homework and finances and health concerns. You've got personal habits. You've got unresolved wounds. You've got unspoken assumptions. You've got that thing that the Bible calls sin. All those things start mixing in. They're all thrown into a pot that is called family. And then the lid of the household is sealed. And if you're coming from a traditional family, a blended family, a single family, whatever, you know that there is a pressure cooker that you may be living in. And home is one of the places where all of life's ingredients are forced to cook together. So pressure comes in many ways. There's another reason that pressure is inevitable, and that is because the heat is constant, not occasional. A pressure cooker doesn't work without heat. You have to have heat to make all that work with that pressure cooker. That may be true on the stove, but it's also true in the family. Family life is never heat-free. How many of you have said, if we can just get past this, then everything's going to be okay? And you know when you say that, that you're lying to yourself and everybody around you in that moment. Family life is never heat-free. We always have schedules that never slow down, financial stress or uncertainty, parenting decisions with no obvious right answer sometimes, marriage tensions that don't resolve quickly, technology that keeps everybody connected and yet emotionally distant. And the results are more heat in the home. And parents are exhausted and children are melting down over their math homework and there's misconnections between spouses. And then you add aging parents into the mix and that adds a whole new dynamic. You know, most family conflict doesn't start with anger. It starts with exhaustion. I mean, the heat is starting to build, but everybody's so tired. And that heat rises oftentimes before anybody says anything. The heat doesn't necessarily happen all of a sudden. It slowly builds and it intensifies, just like a pressure cooker. And resentments aren't voiced and needs go unmet but unspoken, and hurt feelings are masked by sarcasm or maybe it's withdrawal. And parents often carry around with them anxiety that they keep private so they can be strong for the kids. The heat is constant, and the pressure builds. Pressure can also tenderize or destroy. It can tenderize or destroy. You know, a pressure cooker can tenderize the toughest meat. It can also ruin the meal at the same time. Hard seasons of life can produce humility and patience, maybe even a deeper love or a deeper appreciation, or hard seasons can produce hardened hearts. Deeper bitterness can fracture trust. The difference is not the pressure, it's how it's handled, how it's managed. Pressure doesn't ruin families, but unmanaged pressure often does. But here is the good news. God knows all about the heat. He knows that the heat is real. He doesn't shame families for feeling pressure. He understands it. And instead of shaming families, what God does is God comes in and meets families at their point of need. Jesus speaks about the pressures of life, but he uses the analogy of a storm. And whether it's a tempest in a teapot in your life right now, or you feel like you are in the pressure cooker, wherever you may be in this ocean that we call life, the fact is we can all feel pressure. We can feel the barometric changes, the pressure changes that happen in life. And Jesus acknowledges this in the story. And he tells us in this story about two men who build homes. And he acknowledges that pressures come to every life. Look in verse 25 again. He says, "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." What's the implied assumption from that verse? Well, Jesus assumes that he's telling this story in a way that just assumes that storms are going to come to every house. They come to my house, they come to your house. They come to homes that are quote-unquote Christian homes. They come to homes that are quote-unquote non-Christian homes. Faith in Christ does not exempt families from hardship. And the Bible has a lot to say about the unique difficulties that Christians face. But storms come our way, and storms come in all different forms. You have crisis storms. That can be a loss, can be an illness, can be a major conflict that happens. You have chronic storms. That's just those storms, that ongoing stress or resentment or fatigue. And the question isn't if a storm is going to come your way. The question is, when's the storm going to hit? You are either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And life has that unique ability to have multiple storms at the same time. When will the pressure build to the point that we feel like we're about to burst? Pressure is inevitable. But that's not the only truth that we can draw from Jesus' story. In fact, there's one that's really critical to understanding the entire story. And that is this: construction choices shape outcomes. Construction choices shape outcomes. Really, if you had to kind of summarize this whole story, you could just summarize it with that phrase right there. In the story, Jesus tells that there are two home builders. Now, always keep in mind with this story that Jesus is never actually talking about a house. He's talking about the building of your life. And building homes here is the idea of the building of your life. And we might say the building of your family. And he says there's two builders. And first of all, both of them have the same set of instructions. Look at what Jesus says in verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So this verse shows that this man has instructions. He hears the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus says in that verse. But then we hear about the other man in verse 26. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." You see what happened there? The second man gets the same set of instructions. He hears the words of Jesus. Jesus uses that phrase in both of those verses. They both have the same set of instructions. They both have the same words of Jesus. The difference is what they did with those instructions. When I was in seventh grade, I was at Wilson Middle School in Plano, Texas. And in Wilson Middle School in seventh grade, I took a shop class. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I found out it was a lawnmower repair class is what it was. So the whole semester, we were at the start of the first class, we were given a lawnmower engine. And the whole semester, we took that lawnmower engine apart. And then we spent the second half of the semester rebuilding the lawnmower engine. And our teacher, who was our teacher in that class, gave instructions and gave guidance as we requested along the way. He didn't disassemble. He didn't rebuild. We did all of that work. And at the end of the semester, our grade was based on the engine being able to start. And so by the end of the semester, we had some whose engines started right away. We had others in the class who they had to do a little more work, a little more tweaking to make it happen. And then there was my team. And we kind of goofed off, and our engine didn't start. And that may have been because of the 75 pieces we had left over. I mean, I'm just speculating there. I'm also speculating that the teacher made a killing in lawnmower sales after the semester was over. But we all had the same engine, or had engines, and we all had the same instructions, and the teacher with those instructions was available to all of us, but we all made our own choices. And construction choices shape outcomes. Both men in the story had choices. Specifically, they made choices with what to do with what Jesus had to say. And in life and in our homes, it really comes down to what do we do with the words that Jesus has to say. Because the choices that we make in construction, in that process, has an impact on the outcome. They also hear the same instructions and both make different decisions. Now remember, construction choices shape outcomes, and one builder is wise and puts the words of Jesus into practice. And because of that, he builds his house on the rock, Jesus says. This is the kind of home that chooses to follow Christ's words. The people in that home were not perfect, but they're trying their best to do what God says they should do. And so they choose to be obedient to God over convenience. They try as parents to learn the ways of Jesus, to walk in the ways of Jesus, to model the ways of Jesus to their kids. They seek to do what the Bible tells them to do about how to live their life. Again, they're not perfect at it. They're flawed human beings just like all of us, but they're trying to do the right thing. And so Jesus calls the kind of person that tries to do what Jesus says, he calls that person the wise man. Jesus also says, though, there's a type of person who is unwise. They hear the same words of Jesus, but they just ignore them. It's not that they try and fail and try and fail. Hey, we all do that. This person hears the words of Jesus, and they just set those words aside. They just ignore the words of Jesus. And what they end up doing, Jesus says, is they end up building their life, they build their family, their homes, all of that on a soft foundation. They build it on sand. What happens when you build your house on sand? We all know that. It begins to crumble. I mean, have you ever gone to the beach and tried to run in the sand? I mean, you know how hard it is just to run in the sand. Why is that? Because sand, it moves. It shifts around. And sand is not a solid foundation. It'll change. It'll shift. It'll wash away. And many people try to build their lives on that. And building on sand doesn't mean that people are faithless all the time. It just means they've chosen to ignore what Jesus has to say, and they've chosen to build their life on an unstable foundation. They have chosen things that feel solid but can't hold the weight over time. Everything looks fine until the pressure arises, till the storms come. Sand can look very firm on a sunny day, And sand never announces to you its weakness. In fact, sand oftentimes, you can go to beaches where it's kind of packed down, and sand can disguise itself as stability. The marriage seems healthy while life is easy. Parenting is going great as long as the kids are doing well. And when everything is going well, everything must be good. And so home life feels strong when nothing is being tested. But sand reveals itself when the storm comes, when the pressure rises. A home can look solid and yet be structurally unsound. And that's because construction choices shape those outcomes. And so Jesus is calling on us in this passage with our families to examine the foundation of our home again. Not necessarily saying you need to call somebody out and have them walk around your house and do some testing on your house. You may need that. But Jesus isn't talking about the neighborhood you live in. He's talking about your heart and your life and your family. Here's the thing about foundations. Foundations are largely invisible until they're tested. If you came to my house, you could see parts of my foundation. You could walk around the outside of my house. You could see parts of my foundation. But I can't see most of my foundation. But when the pressures come, your foundation will begin to reveal itself. We all know that. We all live in North Texas. We all know what that's like. We've all seen those cracks up by the door. We've looked at all those things and seen all of that. But look at Jesus' story. Two builders. They build two houses. Jesus says a storm comes. Both houses are hit by the same storm. That's what's implied in the story. And the difference is not the appearance of the house. Both of those houses may be beautiful. They may have great landscaping. Lighting may look fantastic on the outside. The difference is not in the effort that's made by the two builders. Man, they both worked hard, put their sweat equity into building that house. The difference is not in their intention. Both builders intended to build a house that would last. The difference is always in the foundation. And look at what happens when that pressure builds. That storm rises, verse 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The man who heard Jesus, heard the teachings of Jesus, but ignored those teachings, built his house on sand. And when the storms of life came, his home was tested. The Bible says it fell with a great crash. Sand moves, sand erodes, it gives way. There are many foundations that are being offered in our world today. There are many foundations that our world is out there selling. And they come in all different forms. You've got foundations of emotions. I'll do what feels right to me. You have foundations of culture. Well, you know, everybody else is doing it. You even have foundations of success. Hey, as long as things are going well, it must be good. I also hear a lot from families today, the foundation of busyness. Pastor, we're just too busy to deal with all of that. We're just too busy to come every week. The world is filled with all sorts of sand foundations. But here's the problem. People oftentimes mistake how something looks for how solid the foundation actually is. They mistake appearance for strength. And we live in a culture, and we live in a community, this North Texas community, where appearance is very important. And trying to keep up the appearance and make everybody think that we've got it all together is very important. And sand can support that for a little while. A home can look very successful from the outside. Children can behave well in public. I've even seen some kids at restaurants without a screen in front of them. The language of faith may be present, but the actual practice of it and the application in the life, in the heart and life, may be absent. And looking strong is not the same as being anchored and having that solid foundation. And when the pressure cooker heats up, with no outlet. When the storms come, sometimes we can see them coming. Sometimes they hit out of nowhere. The foundation upon which you build will reveal itself. And a home built on sand may stand for a season, but it cannot stand forever, which is why Jesus teaches us an alternative choice that we can make. Verse 25 again. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The man who built his house on the rock didn't say, "All right, I built on the rock. Come on, storm." He didn't ask for the storm. He didn't ask for hard times to hit. But he understood that hard times are a reality. He understood that those things happen, that storms come our way whether we like it or not. And a foundation is formed long before the storm. Friends, this kind of foundation that Jesus is talking about here is a foundation that is formed through daily habits. Daily habits. We oftentimes have a faith that is kind of a break in case of emergency kind of faith. We're fine just to kind of keep everything at a distance, but then when we have a crisis, we gotta call 911 to God. But the kind of solid foundation that Jesus is talking about here is one that's formed through daily habits. The foundation of daily habits of being in the Word of God. If you are a parent or a grandparent, you have to be in the Word of God every day. Now, if you're neither a parent nor a grandparent, hey, the same applies to you. But as believers, we've got to be in the Word of God. It's getting more and more complicated to be able to understand and to navigate some of the things of the world. Now people who do not hold godly political positions are starting to speak the language of faith in order to twist it a little bit to make it work for their agenda. And we as believers have to have discerning ears to know the Word of God and to be able to distinguish how the devil loves to come in and twist the truth. He doesn't twist lies. He twists the truth to make them into lies. But we have to have a solid foundation in order to teach our children. That is formed through time in the Word of God. That foundation is formed through prayer, through daily conversation with God, daily dialogue, listening to God. It is formed through biblical spiritual disciplines. That is what a solid foundation is built on. A solid foundation in a home is going to be built on shared values based in the Word of God. It's going to be built on obedience to what Jesus says. And if you haven't noticed, the world is trying to hijack Jesus. They're trying to make Jesus say things that Jesus never said. Or they're trying to say that Jesus never addressed that topic. Oh, that's just in the Old Testament. That's a heresy, by the way, called modalism, trying to say God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, three different things. Don't buy that. But people are not going to know that unless you're building your life on the truth of the Word of God. And when Jesus tells us something, we need to be obedient to it, even if the world says, you don't have to do that. Things have changed. We're modern now. What happens is, people who build their house on sand find out that modern changes all the time. Those who build their house on the rock know that that foundation is secure. And what happens is you don't build your foundation during the storm. When the storm comes, you discover what kind of foundation you've been building. When the storms of life come and the pressure in the pressure cooker builds, you find out quickly what kind of base you're building on. Now, again, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. Nobody has the perfect home with no problems and no issues. In fact, that's ridiculous to even think that might be true. If you think that Christians have perfect homes, you've not been around us very much. We have the same struggles, the same problems. We have moms and dads who make the same choices. We've got kids that make the same choices as many people who don't follow anything that Christ says. We have the same battles, same fights, same disappointments, same struggles, same sins. We've got all of those. But we're trying our best to build our lives on the foundation that Christ establishes. And when you do that, here's what you discover. The rock is Christ, not the family. The rock is Christ, not the family. We've said this a lot. We'll talk about somebody in our family. And I've said this about my mom. Hey, you know, man, my mom, she was the rock of our family. And when we say that, we all understand what we mean when we say that. But we need to also understand that none of us really should be the rock of our family. The rock of our family should be the Lord Jesus Christ. And when mom and dad make Jesus Christ the rock of the family, what happens is the kids start to recognize, hey, Jesus is the rock of our family. But they also see that mom and dad are rocks as well. That's the crucial starting point. The family is not the foundation. Your marriage is not the foundation. Children are not the foundation. Christ is the foundation of the home. And you may not be at the point right now where all of this makes complete sense. I know many of you in the room here today. I've known a lot of you for a long, long time. And I know that many of you, this is something that's second nature in your home. But there are a lot of people who come to our church every Sunday that it's not second nature. They're trying to understand any of it. They're trying to understand the new nature. And you may not be at a point where all this makes complete sense. You may not understand all that it means to build your family on the foundation of Christ. But I'll tell you this. You've come to the right place. Because we are not the perfect church. And that's because we're not perfect people. We're just people seeking to build our lives on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and on his teachings and on the truth of God's word. And there are many, many pressures in this world. And those pressures build and they cause storms. And those storms hit every person, every life, every home. And no matter who you are, if you're a Christ follower or not, those storms will come, which is why Jesus teaches us this important little story. So important for every person, every family, every home. Because the tragedy is not that storms come. The tragedy is building where collapse is inevitable. And Jesus does not warn us because he is harsh. Instead, he warns us because he loves you and he loves your family. And he wants you to make a decision today to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will build on the rock. Now, some of you are here today and you think, well, that's too late. It's too late. My kids are grown. Gone too far. It's, you know, they're gone. They've got their own families now. It doesn't work. Some people feel like, hey, it's too late for us because we may still have kids around, but we're just, our family is beyond repair. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit coming. It does not matter if you have the perfect family or not. And if you do, let's meet after. I want your autograph. But the fact is, there's not a single one of us that can change yesterday or yesteryear. But all of us can choose to work today to try to build our lives as individuals and our families and our homes upon the rock of Jesus Christ, the firm foundation upon which we stand. And on Christ, the solid rock, we choose to stand. Because why? All other ground is, say it with me, sinking sand. When the pressures of life hit your home, you need a strong foundation. Choose today to build your life and your home on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head with me today? I'm so glad you've come today, and I hope that these words have spoken encouragement into your heart. Because what happens is the devil is so sly, he will take encouraging words and discourage our heart. Don't let him do that to you right now. Don't let him do that to you. just talk back to the devil. You understand that the Word of God promises that though we can't change yesterday, what we do today can make a difference. And if for nobody else but just yourself, you choose to build your life and live your life on the solid rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's a decision worth making this day. So I want to invite you to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to build my life on you even more. I know some of you have been building your life on Christ for decades. Ask the Lord to help you to be even stronger, for your foundation to be even more solid. The next generation needs this generation to continue to model what it means to follow Christ. They don't need Pharisees. They don't need legalism. They need people who love Jesus and are seeking to live for him every day. Let us be people who are seeking to do that. Ask the Lord to help you in that. If you've got kids in your home, if you've got grandkids around you, whatever it may be, ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me to be an example. Help me to be a witness. You may be here today, and you may not be married. You may not have kids, but God wants to use you to influence people and to be an influence on the next generation. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's niece, neighbor, niece, nephew, whatever it may be. But the facts of what Jesus says today are not just for people who are building a house, not just for people who are married and have 2.5 kids. It is for each and every one of us to hear and apply in our life. For you to say, choose for yourself who you may serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you've never given your life to Christ, that's where it starts. You can't be a Christ follower and not have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right now in our Connect room, this glassed-in room out here on the hallway, we have ministers waiting to talk to you about receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to go there. If you've never given your heart to Christ, go to our Connect room, this glassed-in room. Ministers are waiting there to talk to you about receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Don't delay, don't put it off, but today decide, I'm going to build my life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you want to join our church, you go to the Connect Room. If you want to schedule to be baptized, you go to the Connect Room. You feel God's calling on your life to ministry or missions, go to the Connect Room. Whatever your decision may be, even if it's just that you need prayer, go to the Connect Room today. If you don't know what you need, you just know you need help, you need to talk to somebody, go. Let the people there pray for you and help you. That's why they're there. They want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't put it off. Go today and say yes to the Lord. I have to also say, though, I know in a room this size, there's a lot of people in this room whose hearts are heavy and you are hurting because of strife and strain within your family, somewhere in your family. You've got kids that are going the wrong way. You've got friends that have kids that are struggling that you're close to. You're wrestling with issues, whatever it may be. But whatever it is, there's people today that have things going on in their family. Ask the Lord for grace. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord to intervene and ask the Lord to do miracles in your home. I believe in a God who works miracles. Ask him today to help you, to help them. You've got kids or grandkids that need a miracle in their life, then pray that God would bring a miracle in their life today. Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the solid rock foundation that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for how your word has taught us, instructed us in how to live, how to follow you. God, I'm so grateful for the story that Jesus tells us. It's so simple that every one of us can understand the truth. And Jesus told us that we have a decision to make upon what foundation we will build our lives. Will we build our lives on the teachings of Jesus or on what this world says is true? God, I pray that we as a body, as a church, would say that we will build our lives, our families, our home on the foundation of Christ. For those who are here who have never received Christ as Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. For those who have other decisions they need to make, may they make them today. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit this message to you. May it speak to our heart, not just today, but throughout this week. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.